quickest and most awkward study you've ever listened to. And the fastest I've ever read in my life. That's the thing with earnestly desiring the best gifts, as it says in Corinthians, that we should earnestly desire them, is that you actually have to use them at some point, which I didn't want to do. I just like getting prophetic words, but I don't actually like having to step out and use them. When Scott started going around, I'd been praying for like the last couple of years, Lord, use me. There's some Bibles at the back if you don't have one. Daron will bring them around. Just raise your hand up. So I keep praying, Lord, use me, Lord, use me, stretch me, do more. And each time Scott would say, hey, do you want it? And I'd, no. And he's like, oh, I really think it will help you grow. No, thank you, but no. And then he came and said, oh, I want to get a few different people to teach on the gifts. No. He basically said, well, here's the list. You are doing it. Pick one. So in my, you know, without even thinking, I said, prophecy. And then I thought about it later and I thought, I probably picked the most hardest of the gifts to do. Well, the other one was discernment, which is even harder to explain, I guess. But I've just picked prophecy because it's the one that's, other than worship, has been operating the strongest in me in the last year or so. And he's bought some Maltesers so that I won't run away. He said I can have them if I get through the word. And he bought me coffee, or Jeb bought me coffee this morning. And I think I'm going to speak next week too. I didn't get any when I had to get up for worship. So I'll just start with what is prophecy? And in Romans 12:6 and in 1 Corinthians 12:10, the translation from the Greek for that is, it's to speak forth or to declare the divine will and of God and interpret his purposes and to make them known in any way in which the truth of God can influence people. I hadn't written anything out. I just scribbled in on my paper and then I emailed it to Scott and I'm reading from my email. Lord, lead me. It's not foretelling, it's forthtelling. So we're speaking something into being and our words are powerful. With whatever we say, we have the power to speak that into being, whether it's positive or negative. But only God knows the future, and it tells us that in Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. Only he knows the future. The devil will try to counterfeit everything that the Lord has done. So, you know, with fortune tellers and things, he can create situations in your life if we choose to go down that path where it looks like what he said was foretelling. So he can say, you're going to come into a lot of money. And he can set up circumstances and tempt us to go down that road, and eventually we're going to get to that place where it happens and we'll be like, hey, that star sign was right. You know, I've come into a lot of money, or I've met this person. But he doesn't know that's going to happen. He can only create situations and circumstances and hope that we follow that path and end up there so it looks like he's right. But God knows the future. So if he gives you a word, that is going to come about. But he also gives us free will as well. So when he speaks something, it's a promise. He will do it. But then it is up to us to go down that path and trust him with that promise so that he can fulfill it. So it's primarily a gift of proclamation or forthtelling. It's not prediction or foretelling. Through prophecy, God makes believers aware of needs that he wants to meet through them, and it is all for his glory. So it's not for us to go out and say, hey, God talks to me, and I hear this, and I hear that, and it all comes to pass, and I'm so awesome, because I am awesome. But it's all for his glory. So we want to lead people to believe in him. So when things come about that we're speaking over people's lives, and we can say, God told me this, and then it happens, they're like, hey, this God must be real, or, you know, it really starts to build them up, and that's what the gifts are for, is to build people up, to edify them. And when we speak to people, it builds us up as well, especially when you get that confirmation from that person and they say, I've been praying about that, or I'd been asking the Lord for an answer. And you might not know that person at all, but you pray and then the Lord says, tell them this. And you're like, I'm not saying that. Or you get a bit fearful and they say, thank you for that. I was asking the Lord to bring that to me this morning. And then that confirms in us as well. Like when I was starting to give visions and things, I thought they were silly. I thought it was my wild imagination. And then when people were saying, that really spoke to me, it started to build me up. And it also made that voice clearer. So I knew when it was the Lord speaking. And as I've started to step out in that, I know straight away when it comes in, oh, that's from the Lord. But there's also, you need to wait before you step out and give that word and just say to the Lord, should I give it now? Should I give it now? And wait for his leading and his prompting. Because sometimes you get a word, but the person isn't quite prepared to receive it yet. And if you give it, it's just going to fall on dry ground, basically. But if you give it when the Lord tells you to give it, he's already cultivated the soil. He's prepared a place for that seed to fall, and then he's able to water it as well. So when believers are using this gift, they can minister to others through these gifts in ways that are beyond human capability. And when you're doing it in the Lord's strength, you're serving him with maximum effectiveness and minimum weariness. And we quite often talk, like just among ourselves, how when we've done worship nights here, we've gone for 2-3 hours. When we've been at home doing prayer meetings or ministry time, we can go, just keep going and going and going. And they say, how do you stand up there that long? And don't you get tired? But when you're in the presence of the Lord and in his Holy Spirit, he just keeps you going. He keeps energizing you, and you don't have that weariness. But afterwards, you know, you're pretty drained and you're just like, oh, I just want to sleep for a few days. But yeah, during that time when we're out at Rotoma, I think we're out there for like 4 or 5 hours or something, eh? And we didn't want to stop. It was around midnight and we were like, oh, no, we're stopping already. You know, we're seeing people touched, and some of the leaders there that were praying for people were just falling down outside under the power of the Lord, and they're trying to pray for people and they're starting to fall over themselves. And it's like, oh, I just don't want to go home. I wish this was my full-time job, you know, just have a little nap, get up, do it again. So we'll pray for that. Thank you, Lord. So how does it build up the church? So by bringing exhortation and comfort to the church. And exhortation is solace or comfort. And the Holy Spirit uses prophecy to comfort believers, exhort them to holiness, love, worship, praise, prayer, evangelism, humility, and giving. And more. Hang on a minute. Told you it's going to be awkward while I... Thanks. Oops, I put the wrong scripture in place. The Lord did say, they like crickets. Just let them listen to them for a while. Could have told me I got this all out of order, and she said, no, you put that in the wrong place. Okay. So the biblical prophets were speaking and writing in regards to the times that they were in. So they were giving messages in regards to what was happening in Israel back in their time. But the words were challenging. So they were challenging the Israelites to step out and believe God's word, challenging them to repent and turn to him, which I think is a timeless message. It's still relevant today for our time. We can still step out with words and challenge people to repent and turn to the Lord. And we can still speak into our times, what we're experiencing in the world today. And God still wants to give messages. So that's why he's raising up prophets now, so that he can speak out to a world that's really shut them off lately. They were carrying messages from God rather than speaking on their own initiative. And it wasn't always comfortable, wasn't always nice. I mean, we know that some of them were tortured and beaten and killed for their words. Especially some of them had to go before kings and give words that could ultimately have them beheaded right then and there. So it wasn't something that was always glorified. You know, people say, oh, I want to see visions, I want to hear from the Lord, but it's not always a glorious thing. Sometimes you have to go to someone with quite a hard word. But as long as it's done in love and you present it to them when the Lord tells you to, it's going to be received. Even if at that moment it hurts them a little bit, I guarantee it's something they've been praying about anyway, and they just needed to hear the confirmation of it. So prophecy is still relevant for today. And you should always judge prophecy against Scripture, or talk to God about it, you know. It's not up to the prophet to speak to the Lord on your behalf. He delivers the message, and you need to go to him and search his word and see if that word that you've been given is backed up by Scripture and by what you're hearing from the Lord as well. So you need to converse with him, which isn't a one-way dialogue. You need to really get in there and have your own relationship with the Lord and really learn to hear his voice so that, you know, there have been some words where I've known straight away, yep, that was for me, I've been praying about that. But there's also some that I thought, I don't really know about that. I'm not going to accept it just yet. I'll take it away and I'm just going to study the word and read and just see if that was for me. Sometimes it wasn't and sometimes it was. And God is pretty creative with his prophecy. So I hear from him in many ways. One of my favorites is like rolling movies, pictures. So he speaks with words, sometimes just directly with words, with art, music, mind pictures or movies, and many other ways as well. And anyone can prophesy. I mean, you don't have to be in the office of a prophet or... you know, that doesn't have to be your gifting, but anyone can prophesy. And I have seen that with people that aren't necessarily prophets. But if you submit yourself to the Lord and you pray and you have a heart to receive from him and do this in love, I've seen him speak to people and they've said, oh, I have this word or I have this picture. I don't know if this means anything to you. And it might be once. That might be the only time they hear from them. But the Bible does say that... you know, he pours out his spirit on us and all will prophesy. With all the gifts and people desiring different gifts, if we all were prophets, you know, we wouldn't be as built up. God has made us a body, so we're made up of different things. He's put everyone where he wants them. And I've looked at others and thought, oh, I wish I had the gift of that, or I wish I had the gift of that, and they've done that as well in turn. But God knows where we're going to be most effective and how to use us. So he gives us those gifts. I mean, we can all work in these gifts, but we're all going to be, you know, it's going to be stronger in some areas. Like, we can all pray for healing, we can all pray for miracles, we can all prophesy and all discern things. But so he's going to, and some of us, he makes those areas stronger in our lives, and that's where we step out in sort of the office of that particular gifting. So when do we use prophecy? There isn't any real you can't prophesy here or then or that. Obviously, if there's time set aside in church for prophetic words, definitely step into it. If someone comes to you and says, hey, could you pray for me, or could you ask the Lord for a word? I've done that, and as I've learned, it hasn't always come straight away. Sometimes I've said, can I go away and pray about that for a few days and then let you know? In prayer time, often in prayer, I'll just sit and I'll just say, Lord, do you want to show me anything? And sometimes, like, I've seen just a picture of a sun. I said, okay, that's cool, but what does that mean? Is there more? And then I'll just see some hills with the sun. So, okay, that still doesn't make any sense. Is there more? And then, and I won't say anything until I get it. Or if someone says, oh, you know, I saw a son, and then I'll think, huh, that's just what the Lord gave me. But you just got to keep pressing in and asking. Don't give up and say, well, I don't know what a son means. That can't be it. Just say, Lord, what's that about? Do you have more to tell me? Do you have someone that this is for? During worship, I've had pictures during worship, and I haven't spoken them out. I tell Scott after, hey, I saw this, and he's like, you totally should have said that. So yeah, anytime the Lord prompts you and gives it to you and leads you to prophesy, then go with it. If he hasn't led you to do it, then, you know, just hold back and say, Lord, is this from you? Do you want me to share this? So yeah, when he reveals things to you, just ask him if it's for now or is it. I've had words too where I've thought, oh, I'll go tell them that. And he's like, no, you know, not yet. And it's been days or weeks or months later that I've been able to share with that person. And the timing has always been right. Sometimes they've drawn it out of me, like, you have something, the Lord told me. It comes in the form of Scott's voice. And I'm like, no, he didn't. And he said, yes, he did. And then I speak it out, and that person has been like, wow, I've been waiting to hear that. So, yeah, don't be in a hurry, but don't hold back either. Like, the Lord will use somebody, but it's always a privilege for him to use you or to use me. Yeah, so he can, and he will raise up someone else to deliver the message if you're not going to step out, but then you're not going to grow in it either. They'll just end up being dormant and laying there, and then it just becomes harder and harder to hear and know if it's from him. But the more you step out and use it, the easier it becomes and the clearer you hear his voice and see these pictures. And so, yeah, it's for the benefit of all of us, but it also benefits the person giving the word because we're all built up. And that's what these gifts are for, is just to... He wants to build his body up, and then we need to go out and share that with those who don't know him. You should never lead with pride, thinking, wow, God gave me this awesome word or this awesome vision. I'm going to go and share it so I can show how holy I am. It can become a distorted message, and the truth won't come out of it. The point of what God was trying to show you or say or do in that person's life won't come into effect, and basically that'll be a wasted word. It'll just fall by the wayside, and then, yeah. So just always lead in love. That's the one thing I've sort of held on to. And it does say in 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, which is not necessarily a romantic chapter as the world has sort of made it. It is a beautiful romantic chapter, but it's about loving each other as well and loving the lost. And it says in 13 verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but not I have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So if you're going to go and give words without love, it just means nothing, because the whole purpose of these gifts is to build others up, to encourage them. And if you're not doing that in love, it's not going to build them up. So you should practice your gifts daily. I started out by just speaking out in prayer meetings on the Wednesday night. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. And then I led into the Sundays, and I thought I could only use it on a Wednesday and a Sunday. And I was like, I really want to do this outside Wednesday and Sunday. And so I thought I'd test it, and I was really sick one day, and one of my friends had asked for a word, or had just sort of shared something of her day. I thought, okay, I'm going to put it to the test. Lord, I want a word, and I'm not going to sleep until you give me something. And it was ages. I think it was like an hour, and I was messaging her, it's coming, you know, the Lord is going to give me something. And then I was like, oh, I'm sick, I'm going to go to bed, I'll ring you later. And I'm sure he would have given me something. But I just kept pursuing him. I just kept saying, Lord, I'm serious. Like, I want a word. I want you to be able to do this on a daily basis. I don't have to wait till prayer meeting or church or an outreach or something to have the gift used. I want to be able to do this in my own time at home. And then after that, I just got like 4 visions of this person, all different pictures. I was like, whoa. And I just couldn't type fast enough. And I sent that off to her. And then as I've talked with her over time, she's like, oh, man, that's exactly how I was thinking. Or that's who I am. And the Lord's been showing me that. And one of the things we talked about for her has also been for someone else in her life as well. So she's able to take that and apply it to that situation. But that was cool. So I was like, oh, okay, now I'm going to get a word for somebody else. And so I was like, Lord, can I have a word for them? And I just kept doing this daily, and I'd send them off and say, hey, the Lord told me this. And each time they'd come back and say, I've been praying about that. So, yeah, practice them daily. Even if they're just at home with your children or with your husband or wife or brother or sister or anybody, just sit down and say, hey, should we pray together and see if the Lord will give us a word for each other or a picture? Play little games like Josh has said. He used to walk down the street and say, Lord, what's that person's name? And he'd go, Rebecca. And they'd go, no. Nope. So he'd go, okay, that wasn't the Lord. And he'd just keep trying, or colours of cars that would come around the corner, or until he started to get it. And then it would become more clear, and then he'd be like, oh, it's going to be red. And then red would come around the corner. He's like, thanks, Lord. And there's some other things that, like Jabron and that, have done where they go out. It's called treasure hunting. And they've asked the Lord for a specific person and said, Lord, do you have a word for someone and show me who that person is? So he might say, go to the Redwoods. Person with a blue hat and a red T-shirt, and they'll be standing in this spot. Go and tell them I love them. And so you go out and you go and find that person. And when you find them and share with them, and then you start having a conversation, and they're like, oh, man, I've been asking the Lord if he's real and if he loves me, and then you came along. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be used here in church. You know, we can go out, and that's how we save people, by sharing the love of God with them and showing them that he's real. And when you go up to a complete stranger and say, the Lord told me this, or this is going on in your life, I mean, they can't question it because you know about them. Personal details they haven't told anybody. So they have to say, this God must be real, because I've never met this person before, and how did they know that about me? Which leads into, where do we prophesy? So it's wherever God leads you, that's where you prophesy. Wherever he's placed you, outreaches, prayer meetings, on your walk, on your run, in the gym, at work, wherever he's led you to prophesy, that's where you need to do it, and be obedient to his voice. Be careful not to add to anything or take away anything, even if it's uncomfortable to share that. You can ask the Lord of different ways to say that to somebody, but definitely don't leave it out or don't add to it. One example of that was when we're over in Inflame, the Lord kept saying, go and tell this person that, this and that. And a lot of it was singing, and then the last singing prophecy or prophetic words over people. And then the last one, he said, go up and tell Ginny that she's been unlocked and she has to walk through the door. I was like, is that it? Like, should I sing it to her? Should I add something? He's like, nope, just that. And so I was thinking, right, I'm going to add this and I'm going to add that, and then I'm going to sing this really cool melody. And he's like, nope, you're not. Just go and say those words. So I was like, oh, okay, boring. I just sang all these words over people and you want me to just say that? So I went up and I was like, the Lord said to tell you that you've been unlocked and to walk through the door, whatever that means. And walked off. And then she said, oh, I had this sweet voice telling me to walk through the door. And she said, and then I heard this, whatever that means. It wasn't till the Sunday later, she's like, you know, I just finished praying, Lord, if there's anything in me that needs to be unlocked, would you do it? And then I went straight up to her and said, the Lord said to tell you you've been unlocked. So even if it's a small word, don't discount it. You know, the Lord already knows what's going on in them. He already knows what they need to hear. And you don't have to always try and interpret what you hear or what you see. A lot of the time, that person's already been praying for it, so they're just waiting for that confirmation. Sometimes he does give you the interpretation, and sometimes it's just a word like that, and they can interpret it on their own. So just wanted to share a couple of my own experiences. So I receive words in the way of visions, pictures, both still and moving. So a personal vision for myself was, I think at the first In Flame that we went to, I went with some pretty specific things that I wanted answered by the end of that week. And throughout that week, from the very first worship time, Josh Klinkenberg said, I want you all to just spend some time in the Lord and ask him to show you something. I thought, perfect, because that's what I came here for, you know. So I sat down and he just showed me, one of the things was, am I really called to lead worship, or is that just something I like to do? And is that a path that you actually want to take me down, or am I just being greedy and not letting other people do it? So the first thing he showed me was just a picture of a cloud. And the day before, I had been listening to Show Me Your Glory about stepping into the cloud and seeing the Lord's glory. And I had looked up and was on the way to church. And I'd looked up and I saw this really pretty cloud. And I said, cool. And so the next day he showed me that very cloud. And inside the cloud was me. It was like a nice little cloud room with little cloud chairs, one for me, one for Jesus. It's like, wow, this is really cool, you know. And the Lord was like knocking on the door and I let him in. And so I could see this from the outside, me watching the cloud from the car, but I could also see it from up on the cloud looking down. I was like, oh, no. No, I just saw the cloud when I was driving. I thought, that's cool. But the next day, in the vision, I was driving. And yeah, it was weird. But and then I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, like my own little. And the Lord was like, this is your little sound cloud. You know, you come in here to write music or just to be refreshed and filled and just to hang out with me, basically. So I was like, oh, that's cool. All right. Didn't really sort of get any answers from that. But over the week, he added to that picture. So the next time, when we had that time, I saw the cloud again, but this time I was standing outside on this little cloud deck. And I was singing. So I was like, huh. And out in front of this cloud was just tons of people, and I was singing to them. I thought, oh, that's cool. And because the other thing I thought was, Lord, do I do this for myself, or is this really you that has put me here? And so in the vision, I was singing to them, and then he sort of removed me and put me to the side, and everyone was sort of looking. And when I was moved, no one, like, followed me. They just kept staring as Jesus had been standing behind me. So he's like, yes, you're meant to be there. And they do see me when you worship. So don't worry that you're doing this for yourself. It's like, wow, that's cool. And then Kim and Skylar Walker were talking about little rooms at the Lord's, or places that the Lord's given them. And Skylar was saying how he has this little wood cabin that he goes to in a vision, and he has two rocking chairs inside, one for him, one for Jesus. And I thought, wow, that's my little sound cloud. And anyone I've described my dream home to knows I want this massive library in my house where I can just go and relax and read books and write music or write books, anything. Another time during this week where God was like, are you ready for the next part of this vision? I was like, yeah, okay. So he's like, oh, we just need to push these walls back a bit. And I was like, no, I like this little cloud room. I like it just how it is. And he goes, no, you're going to like it, trust me. I said, no. And it took, like, throughout that whole day for me to say, all right, Lord, push out my boundaries. I trust you. And he just sort of nudged the walls out a bit, and it turned into this massive library. I thought, whoa, this is cool. And our two little chairs were still there, but they weren't clouds anymore. And he said, and then he sort of just went like that with his arm, and it threw all these rows of bookshelves all the way back. And he said, these are all the songs that you're going to sing for me. It's like, ah, cool. So he's like, come with me. And he took me upstairs, and it's just rows and rows. And he's like, let's go. And we ran to the end of one row, and I just started singing to all these people. And then he said, now come this way. And we ran down another way, and at the end of that row, there was more people. So I just started singing to them, and he was clapping and saying, that's great. And then we'd do that a few times, and we'd go back to the room and just sit And he said, kind of said, look, I want you to go out and to sing to people, but you need to come back to this place and refresh yourself with me. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that was my first personal vision with the Lord. He showed me things and confirmed one of my callings. I've shared in public. The first was with one of the ladies who we started putting people in a chair, and it's the first time I've ever spoken out, and Scott was saying, I think, Katrina, Sarah, and I was like, don't say it. He's like, and Leonie, you have a word. And I was like, ah, and Katrina and Sarah share their words all confidently, and I'm like, just forget you had my name. And he says, come on, your turn. And I was going, no. And then as I shared what I saw, and I was panicking because it was nothing like what Sarah and Katrina had shared, and I thought, oh, I've got it wrong. So not only do I have to speak out, but it's wrong. And I said, oh, I'll just share it. So I shared, and then she turned around, she was like, thank you. Like, that meant something to her. She understood what that picture meant. So I thought, oh, that was pretty cool. Another time in prayer meeting, we were praying for Jeremy's mum, and I just got a picture of his mum dancing, like in a field outside one of those old houses where the deck wraps around the house. And I thought, oh, okay. She was just sort of spinning around dancing. And then that stopped, and we carried on in prayer, and then I got a bit more where she was standing on the deck, and Jesus appeared, and he touched her belly, and this light just grew and sort of just exploded in her. And as it did, it just went through the house, and it sort of wiped out these demonic forces and things. And the Lord was like, you need to go tell them. I was like, yeah, nah, you know, nah. And he's like, you need to tell him. And I sort of went like this a few times, and then he's like, see you later. I was like, bye, you know. I didn't say anything, and I thought, if Katrina texts me tomorrow, then I'll tell her. And out of the blue, she's like, morning, how's your day going? I was like, good. He's like, if she texts me again, I will. And then she's like, so, da-da-da. I was like, oh, would you stop texting me? And I was like, one more time, Lord, if she texts me for a third time, and she did. And so I was like, oh, I have something to share with you. And I was like, I don't know if it's me or if I just made it up. And so I said, I'll email you. And I emailed her, and I never heard back from her. Like, I was like, Lord, she's been texting me all morning, and I finally share, and she doesn't text back. So I was like panicking. I was like, oh, she's thinking, you're crazy. That's not even real. Little did I know, they'd gone over to see Jeremy's family and read this out to them. And she came back. She was like, oh, sorry, I didn't reply. I printed it out, and we went over and shared it. And then Jeremy said that the cancer in his mum was in her belly, and I didn't know that at the time. So did you want to share anything?
So Leonie sent us this vision and really caught my attention because she didn't know, like, my mum had been struggling with breast cancer, but she didn't know anything about the tumours that were in my mum's abdomen. And it was so bad that giving her a hug felt like you were hugging a kind of like a pillowcase full of blocks of wood. It was, you know, that it was really that bad. And so it was quite a, for us, it was quite an amazing vision, even though to someone who didn't know what was going on might have sounded a bit weird. And often I think prophetic visions are like that. You're kind of like, oh, is that, you know, am I going a little bit crazy here? But I shared that with Mum, and Mum and Dad, you know, both had tears in their eyes, and they were just really, really blessed by it. But the awesome thing was, you know, that vision showed healing taking place. And over the next week or two, these tumours in her abdomen just melted away and disappeared. And so it was just like, you know, perhaps we could have said, well, maybe that was the treatment that she was on at the time or something like that, even though it hadn't been working for the last 12 months. But Leonie stepped out, and she gave us that word, And that word coupled with the healing that God brought, and I think was probably spoken into being by Leonie bringing that out, you know, it meant that God got all the glory as well. And it was pretty amazing experience.
Another way I've spoken out in public was one day Scott just sort of threw us in the deep end and said, "Hey, I'm going to get you guys to stand at the back this morning and prophesy over people." It's like, what? I was like, okay, well, hopefully all the family can come up, and I already know what's going on in their life, so I'll just make something up. I thought, Lord said you need to give that up. No. And I wasn't really going to do that, but I thought about it. Would have been the easy way. And it would have been one of those ones that fell on deaf ears because it wouldn't have been right. But so the very first person that comes walking up is Amy, and we hadn't really talked then. I was like, oh, no, Lord, make her go next to Natalie. I was like, cut. And I was like, she's looking at me, and I was trying to close my eyes. And so I opened them, and she's like standing right there. I was like, hi. And so I was like, oh, well, this is going to be totally you, Lord, because I know nothing that's going on in your life. So I was just like saying things, and I was opening my eyes and looking at her to see if she was nodding, and she just stared like the whole time, didn't even blink or move. And I was like, oh, this is all wrong, and she's looking at me with condemnation. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll just say it. If it's all wrong, it's all wrong. And I was like, did that, you know, resonate with you or anything? She's like, yeah, I'd just been praying about that this morning. So I was like, sweet. It's like, cool. So then she went off, and one of the pictures God showed me was of her and her family walking through the streets, just being a total example of his love and what love and family should look like. And so I went home and I was sharing with a friend. I was like, oh, Scott made us do this thing today, and this is what I said, and I'm sure it was crazy. And she goes, you do know what Amy does, right? I was like, what? And she's like, she helps with Bully Free, and she goes out and she shares the love and how you should treat your family, and she goes through the city and does this. And I was like, no, I didn't know that. So that was pretty cool confirmation of what I'd given her. And then there's like private words I've done at home where people have texted, can you give me a word, or can you ask the Lord something? And I've texted back replies and given them, and meant nothing to me, but as I've talked with others, they've said, you know what, this means that in their life, and this means that, and that would have really spoken to them. So I was like, okay, cool. And one other way that the Lord has used this gift is with music, with singing. And at the last In Flame, Josh sort of released us all to go and use our gifts. And I shared a vision with Robert, and I always tell myself, don't tell Robert anything, because then he makes you go and do it. Even when I say, the Lord said, you have to do this, he's like, right, Leonie's just going to do this. So I saw us sailing around in this walker, and Rob was at the front, and he's like, oh, what were you doing in the walker? And I was like, just sitting behind you singing. He's like, right, let's go. And he goes up to this total stranger, and who was a worship leader, and says, oh, my sister Leonie's just going to sing a prophetic word over you. And I was like, and we're standing there, and I go, is she? And he goes, yes, yeah, she is. And I was like, are you sure she is? And he's like, yeah, she is. And we're fighting in front of this girl, and she's looking at us. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And she sings, and I sung the worst of it. It was like, and then I just closed my eyes. And when I opened, she was like bawling. I was like, okay, see ya. Nice to know you. And then he's like, oh, we've got to go somewhere else. I was like, oh, my goodness. And he goes up to Jabron. He's like, oh, Leonie just wants to sing a word over you. He's like, Leonie does not want to sing a word over you. And then I got a picture of just a sheet of music. Writing, sorry, coming out of her heart. And Jabron had been writing books. I was like, oh, but I already know that. I'm just making this up. And anyway, I started singing over her that the Lord wants to use her writing to bless people. And she starts crying. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then she later told me that she had, just that night while Josh was praying over everybody, she said, Lord, if what we've come here to do, her and Scott, is just to equip this family to go out, then I lay aside my writing. So, and then I went straight up to her and said, the Lord wants you to use your writing, you know, to keep writing for him. So she starts crying. And then he's like, one more. I was like, oh, my goodness. So we go up to Scott, and I was like, oh, no, Lord, nah. Sorry about it. I'm out. And about he grabs me and says, Scott, Leonie wants to sing over you. And so I start singing over him, and he sort of turns away. I'm pretty sure he was crying too, but he's just like, oh, the dust in here is so thick. So I was like, wow, Lord, you just made me make three people cry. That's really awesome. And Susan comes up to give me a hug, say, you're doing great. So I start singing over her. The Lord hadn't even told me. And she starts crying. I thought, I'm going to go sit down. And that's when he said, no, you just before you sit down, go tell Jenny. So that was frightening and eventful. But he is creative in how he tells you. So if how you receive words doesn't look like how I do or Scott does or Jeremy does or whoever, doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's just that he knows us and he knows our creativeness, so he knows how to use us and that creativity. I mean, he may speak to you and with planting gardens, which I'm terrible at, or something like that, or painting. And I've drawn a few pictures. Jeb said that I had the gift of art or something, and I drew her a picture of a dinosaur, showed her this dinosaur. I was like, do you still think I have the gift of art? She's like, maybe not. But they're getting better. I drew one for Priscilla, my cousin, the other day, and it kind of looked like what the Lord was trying to show me. So practice makes perfect. So with your prophetic gift as well, just keep practicing it. Keep asking the Lord to show you, and keep trying to step out in areas where you can use that gift, and go to someone that you know has been operating in that gift for a while to help you along and help encourage you. And I just started with the kids just doing this game that they did in Taupo a couple of weeks ago of just sitting down and saying, right, I'm going to pray, and then within 10 seconds, God will give you a picture and we'll ask for the interpretation. And then I said, it's for the person on your right, and we prayed. And then Shania was just laughing, and she wouldn't give it to me. And I said, what is it? And she's like, no, you're going to hit me. It's like, no, just tell me. She's like, it's an elephant. I said, what are you trying to say? No. But no, the Lord was like, calm down, this is what this means. And you know, like we watch a lot of Animal Planet, and you often see a pack of lions will attack an elephant but they can't take it down. And he's like, just for your benefit for today, so Shania doesn't get a hiding, elephants in this state mean that they're strong, they're sturdy, they're not easily taken down. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So yeah, we've just started doing that with just me and the kids, or just at home. So even things like that, I encourage you to step out.
Alrighty. So what we want to do is we just want to activate what the Lord's telling us here. And so I'll just maybe Natalie, you just want to hop next door and just grab the kid? That'd be great. Just bring them in and let them see. You know, and I will sort of give a little bit of clarification, because the reality is you just got to step out, and you don't need to make sense of it. Now, here's one thing I'll share. Usually the thing we get wrong in prophecy, like when prophecy is either given to us or when we give it, is timing. I challenge you, pay attention to this in the Bible. Almost always the prophecies are right. It's the timing that people get wrong. And so bear that in mind. I can say that in my own life this has been the case. But sometimes, as Leonie so eloquently reiterated, is we don't understand what's going on here. When Leonie came up to me on that super dusty day, it was crazy dusty, man. It was, you guys, you know, Rob, it was a very dusty day. Bright lights in our face, you know, when she came up, I had just been like, I'd been watching what the Lord was doing in our fauna and just thinking just how much I love them, and yet how I felt like I'm not like as one with them as I want to be, and how I just sometimes feel like not included, and I just basically having this awesome pity party for myself. And just kind of sitting there in the midst of all this glory going on, just kind of like, nobody loves me, everybody. And Leonie, who we're going to call Elephant Girl from now on. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. She comes up and starts singing over me like acceptance and love and being drawn in, you know, and it's like, it was cool. The dust then swirled. And so, you know, all you need to do is be obedient. So here's the thing. We're told that the Lord declares, he says, in the last days, declares the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and my sons and my daughters will prophesy. Okay, so once again, Leonie, I believe Leonie is in the office of a prophet. Leonie is a prophetess. But just because we're not going to operate in the same level, that's probably the wrong word, but she has a different role. But all of us can prophesy. I am not a prophet, but I can prophesy. And so I operate a lot more in the word of knowledge than I do in prophecy. But the reality is I still, the Lord gives me prophecies over people. So I want us to understand that this is something that is there for all of us. It's not just for certain people that God's going to, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh and my sons and my daughters will prophesy. So that's us. All of us fall into that area. So how do we decide we were going to do this? Because we're going to make you do it now. Oh my goodness. You know? So what we want, Leonie wants us just in a couple groups. I think you're going to get some people to sort of, so who do we have in mind here? Probably Jabron, Natalie, Susan, Katrina, for sure. Okay, Jeremy's going to play. So why don't we just all start getting Kirsty? It'd be awesome if you could. We've just been hearing all this about what the Lord's doing. So Kirsty's going to do a group too. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'll put you with Sandra, okay? Praise the Lord. There you go. Okay, so let's get Scylla, absolutely. So just start gathering around some of these folks. I really want, Jeb, maybe you can just come alongside with Tom and Beb, because I know there's been some things spoken over them recently that we want to just start using. So just let's get the worship team up here. Do you want to just add just some what they're sort of looking for here? Do you want to...